Hi everyone, welcome to the latest episode of Dialogues on Applied Chen'ao Theory. I'm Jonathan Chang in Beijing, and today I'll be talking with Yefim, who is in Portland. So how are you doing, Yefim?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. So today, Yefim...
Yeah, good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's been a while, actually.
Sorry.
A month or so?
Yeah.
Yefim wanted to share a case he had about an upper back pain case, right? Which I think is quite common for a lot of acupuncturists. Sure.
Oh, it's yes. We see stuff like that all the time. Yeah.
So can you describe this patient and why you wanted to share this case?
Well, I was looking, trying to figure out what I want to talk about. And I was going through some of my charts. And the reason I want to bring up this case, just mainly because of the use of one of the points that was very helpful. And the way I use this point is... definitely came from studying with Dr. Wang and the way he approached this point. So in general, you know, I've seen this patient for quite a bit of time, for a few years, and he came in for regular, you know, the patient's pretty healthy, but he came in for general overuse musculoskeletal issues. So it was his finger, his wrist, his elbow. He was an active sort of outdoorsman, a hunter, you know, we are in the Northwest. And so he got, and also an accountant, which is interesting. So he had lots of repetitive kind of motion. You know, at the time I was actually, when this happened, I was treating him for elbow pain that was resolving. Again, kind of, you know, lateral epicondylitis. So pre-normal stuff. He, as his elbow was resolving, he said, you know, I have this upper back pain, kind of, and then when I looked at it, it was from medial border to, of the scapula, kind of under the scapula and towards the spine, somewhere around T6 to T3, very common area to have discomfort. And he said, it's been lingering for a couple of months, it's dull, and it's getting worse, and it's making me uncomfortable sleeping. So I thought I'd bring it up.
So sorry, I might've missed the beginning. You said, is it bilateral or is it only on one
side? No, right side.
Right side only,
yeah. And he's right-handed. And, you know, first I was like, well, he uses his right hand. So pretty straightforward. I palpated his Taiyang channel. I palpated the back. And I came to conclusion, well, this is Taiyang channel issue. Pretty straightforward. There's some stagnation. So maybe there's some stagnation, maybe a little cold, like normal things that happen in Taiyang channel. I said, well, I'm just going to use two stream points.
Can I just interrupt you? Sorry. One thing.
Yeah.
For the Taiyang, when you say you palpated the Taiyang channel, are you talking about like the distal, like the hand and foot Taiyang or just the foot?
Yes,
Taiyang?
Both. Yes. Oh, yes. I need to slow down. Yes. First, I palpated the back. So I palpated the border of the scapula itself, palpated small intestine 11, 12, 13, and also 9 and 10, which is a normal thing I do when I do that. I also palpated this, the spine. I palpated the Du channel in the area and also the Huatoja G points on the right side of the spine, which is very much, it's like a low, as we know, it's a low of the Du. And I didn't find anything significant there. As far as the local palpation, I found tightness and some discomfort around small intestine 11 and the medial edge of the scapula. So palpating distally, you know, this person has had Taiyang channel issues related to his wrist and his finger. And so because I've treated him for a long time, I actually found there were some additional changes that were not there before. I said, well, this is pretty straightforward. So I chose to use, you know, shoestring points, small intestine 3, UB65 distally on the same side only. And locally, I needle small intestine 11. I'm a huge fan of small intestine 11. And Assure points in the area UB14 and 15 because the muscle was quite tight there. And it's a normal thing that common thing I would do. Sometimes I would needle points in and out. In this case, I left it for about 10 minutes because the problem has been there for a couple of months, so I wanted to leave it a little longer. And then I took needles out, flipped them over, did small intestine 3. Interestingly, after the treatment, he felt better.
So sorry, you did small intestine 3 and bladder 65, right?
5. Yeah, shoestring points on Taiyang channel, right side, same side as the injury.
Okay. Can I just backtrack a bit? So when so you did the palpation on the back, that included like the Taiyang channel on the like the back and the like the local region. Mm-hmm. And also the Du vessel, but then you also did distal palpation, right?
Of course, yes. Hand and foot, both, always. So in this case, because if I just palpate the hand, I'm actually not sure if it's more small intestine issue or more UB issue. So I palpate both.
Do you remember what kind of changes you're feeling on the hands and feet?
Yeah, the hand I remember, the foot I don't remember because obviously I'm not as good at writing stuff down, but the hand I remember because I've palpated his, because he used to have wrist issues related to small intestine channel. So I palpated his small intestine a lot. So normally, left over from old issues, he had some JLO, small JLO between small intestine 4 and 5 and a little thickening around small intestine 3. Mm-hmm.
So JLOs are like those kind of stick-like changes or... what you like to call more noodles. Like noodles, spaghetti.
Yeah. Jason calls them stick.
Yeah.
And kind of you could see this kind of leftover stagnation of something he had before. His wrist, actually. Someday maybe we'll talk about his wrist. It was interesting too. But anyway, but now he had a little nodule, not quite a swelling, but little round. Like a JJ, like a little round nodule, and it was a little sensitive when you press on it, and it was closer to small intestine 4, but it was still distal to the joint, so thought of it as small intestine 3, right? So if we have, you know, small intestine 3, and if you go to the base of the fifth metacarpal, any for me, anything distal to the joint, which is small intestine 4, is changes for a shoestring changes, like small intestine 3 changes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I thought, okay, so Taiyang channel, pretty straightforward.
Can I interrupt you again?
Please.
So on the local area you were palpating, so how can you describe what you were feeling? And like, for example, you said you would palpate the Du, the like Jiaji point region, also like you were saying, the areas around small intestine 10, 11, 12, 13, right. 14.
Okay. That region. Sure. So the Du channel was, there was nothing in the Du channel was relatable to this. Unfortunately, you know, the reason that even though the problem is very muscular, I always want to make sure there are no changes on the Du channel, just for fun too. And also I check Kwato Jiaji points, looking for some of the collateral or something that might relate to this injury. But what I found, the area between medial border of the scapula and the spine was elevated, those erectile spinae muscles, mm-hmm. and tight, which is also common.
Yeah. And compared to would you compare it to the other regions, like the...
Yeah, left side. Yeah. Yeah, and take into consideration, this person is right-handed. So some right-handed people that do activities, they involve like activity that do a lot of stuff on the right hand, might have slight difference in anatomy. But since I was familiar with this guy, so it was more than normal. And then he had quite a bit of tenderness around small intestine 11. Nothing on small intestine 12 and 13. And not much, a little sensitivity around small intestine 10, but not as much.
Okay, just one more question, sorry. And when you're doing the palpation technique you're using on like the Huatuo Jiaji regions, mm-hmm. are you just doing pressing technique or are you doing the gliding along the channel space technique? Or
of course, when we palpate the Du channel, I do Shun, the gliding alone. Yeah. And again, so what I do, I normally will check the Du channel. So I'll do a glide, you know, move along Shun. And then after I do that, I go along same technique along Kwato Jiaji.
So using your thumb and kind of gliding along into like a channel space, right? You're still palpating into the border of the muscle or border of the spine.
Of course, right now. So there's a space that's right between the spinous processes and the muscle. Yeah, there's a definitely space. And we do find frequently changes on the Du channel or I mean, that would in the area of what we would call Huachou Jiaji points. Yeah. And it's exactly the same palpation that we do on arms and legs. It's just technique slightly different because, you know, you have to pull the skin, you know. Yeah.
And then once you start palpating like the foot taiyang channel on the back, like the first line or second line, are you using mm-hmm. more pressing technique, or what kind of techniques are you using to palpate?
Both. I will, if there is an area, just a short area elevated. And again, this is more for fun. Usually I don't find as many actual changes because the space is not clear there. A lot of times I palpate the muscle. I might run my finger along, but then I definitely do pressing. And I also move my thumb over. If it's erector spinae, I'll try to move it over, see how tight the whole bundle of the muscle is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
one more thing. I also, when I palpate the scapula, medial border of the scapula, I actually do shun. I run my finger alongside the medial border of the scapula because I found sometimes you'll find like almost like large noodles, like large jello. And it's probably from just thickening of the attachments or whatever from an injury overuse. And I didn't find anything significant there.
If you were to find those kinds of significant changes along the medial scapular region, what will you do to deal with it?
It
depends. Yeah.
Right. Of course, it's going to depend. So instead of just answering, it depends. You know, I've been made fun of for many, many years about my answer. Depends. Local needling, like along the JLO that we normally do along those sticks, so is not the first thing I would do on the back. But if other stuff might be not working, I might consider it.
So if you go if you use, for example, just distal points, and then you mm-hmm. will you repalpate the scapula region and see if there are any changes, like that medial scapula, like just by using distal points, or
same treatment?
Yeah. Or will you do like the second treatment, you'll palpate and see?
Oh, of course, yeah. Especially when I don't get results, which I consider, well, I'll tell you about this treatment. I didn't get results in my book.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And finally, just one last question just to.
Sure.
So when you're doing the palpation of the first line and second line of the bladder channel, are you pressing into the points, or are you just palpating, like pressing along the entire border of that erector spinae muscle, the lateral border of the erector spinae muscle? Or
I only do that on the medial. Are we talking about medial border of the scapula?
That and also the like the first line of the bladder channel and second line. Like, are you just palpating the point, examining just the points, or are you actually just that entire channel space you're palpating?
So I will, and it's mainly out of curiosity. I actually run my finger along UB channel, medial UB channel, UB, you know, 30 void, all those points. I do, but commonly I don't find actual specific like nodules or something around the points. I mean, you could, but I'm curious and I kind of want to see if I do find something. And on the other hand, there is no downside to it, because usually if we treat musculoskeletal issue and it's a tightness, I mean, a little pressure on it does not hurt. You know, usually it helps. Right, it's like a little massage, mm-hmm. and it's mainly about curiosity. But then what I do, I press the point itself, looking for tight muscle, and I go back and forth to see how tight the whole bundle. Oh, another thing I almost forgot, and this not just for upper back pain, this could be for lower back pain. Whenever I find that erector spine is really tight, I find the beginning and the end where the tightness begins. So like a ridge, if there's a ridge, right, of the mountain, I find the beginning and one end beginning. And then for me, that's really important. Frequently, and for many years, I would needle those areas. I didn't in this case, but this is, so I always find that just to see how far it goes. And yeah.
It's interesting, yeah.
Plus, you know, the tightness, even tightness at the upper end of the back of erector spinae could cause low back pain. Mm-hmm. And tightness even lower could cause the neck pain. So that area is pretty important to me, you know, to check. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, I keep on interrupting about this case.
Oh, please.
So after you needle the distal points, you needle the back points first, and then...
Left them for 10 minutes. And again, I want to be clear. So small intestine 11, a needle perpendicular, I got pretty good sensation. And then I found kind of the tight, since his area was not the erectile spine, wasn't really long. I found two are sharp points because I needle at the top of the ridge. I found a space and I thread two needles like a little fan. If it was a longer area, I might have done more. It's a common, it's a typical thing I might, it's a common thing, not a typical, a common thing that I do. And then I took needles out and I needled small intestine 3 UB65 after I flipped him.
Okay. And then?
And then he's like, oh, I feel better. I was like, great. Because this guy, again, my experience with this guy, he gets pretty good results. Mm-hmm. So I expect him to get good results. So that was the first treatment. And then he came back a week later. I needled his elbow locally, but I've been doing this just unrelated. I put a couple of needles in his elbow. His elbow is better, just kind of maintenance. But he came back next time. He said, well, upper back was better that day. And then he came back. And it's not good. You know, it's hard for him to sleep. So now I was like, okay, I should ask more questions. So I really, you know, and so this guy, I was like, what really happened? And we start talking about what could have caused this. And this guy goes hunting a lot. And I around the same time, he went hunting where he had to spend a week or so sleeping on the ground.
Oh.
So I was like, okay. And he didn't put two and two together. I mean, very few people do. So, but finally I thought it was like, maybe cold really penetrated deeper in the spot and I need to be a little more a target to treat that. Because now this is the main complaint he has. The person has, you know, it's hard for him to sleep. There's continued dull ache, right? So prior to the treatment of needles, part of the treatment before I needled him, I max a UB43 on the right side, the Gaohuangshu.
Did you decide to use the Gaohuangshu, the bladder 43?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, John. Well, so there are these special points, you know, the Huang points, there were four of them. And there is a theory that these points, and it's a classical theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's these points, the tissue, Huang tissue, that yellow tissue surrounding the organs, kind of protects the organs, it protects the area. But when disease gets deep in that tissue, it's really hard to get to. It's really hard to treat. And you're supposed to max out this area. I used this point for many, many years prior to meeting Dr. Wong, and I did not always max at this point. I used to needle this point, the really severe issues with the lung, like abscesses and severe pneumonias, with good results. But I remember studying with Dr. Wong, he loved the point, and these issues of upper back that were just lingering from cold, like cold trapped in the area. So not just around the organs, but in the area that's really difficult to get to, really difficult to treat. He would do MOXA in that over UB43 first. And the results were pretty good. I mean, it was definitely makes a huge difference if you do it in proper situations. And over the years, of course, I incorporated in my practice and, you know, we all did, right? So it's a great point. When I talk about the four Huang points, this is my favorite. Gaohuangshu by far is the one I use the most and my favorite. So anyway, so I decided to max at this point and I was frustrated that I did not get good results. So I did a good job for 20 minutes.
How were you doing the MOXA?
Just stick MOXA.
Are there any kind of sensations you hope to get while you're doing the MOXA?
I hope the area warms up and you see some kind of spreading sensation. But the important thing is, so I did it sitting. The person was sitting and we were chit-chatting while I was doing his MOXA. I had him pull his hands like clasps him, himself, so his scapular borders come open. It's important when you needle or marks at this point. The point is almost hiding. It's right at the edge of the scapula, almost slightly underneath. So when somebody's lying down, you want the arms kind of to this off the table, so the scapulas move out a little bit. And when somebody's sitting, you want him to do that. Obviously, like, the whole time, and I marked it, the whole time he couldn't do that. So I kind of had, after I found the point, keep his hands crossed on his lap.
Okay. So he's kind of like hugging himself, right?
Right. And afterwards, I just had him kind of put, because you can't sit like that for 20 minutes. So I had him cross his hands on his lap kind of once. But to find the point, I really wanted him to do that, because I'm very clear. And the point is quite sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So same treatment. I did Moxa for 20 minutes. I did not do any other local needling. So I didn't do any. And I did small intestine 3, UB65 again. Okay.
And?
I'm actually looking at the chart now. So he came back. I want to see the date. So he came back a week later again. He was much better. Upper back was much better. And he thought it was 85% better. But day before he was coming in, it started getting a little tight again. So then I continued doing this treatment for, just another 2 times. So altogether, I did treatment 3 times where I used UB43 with small intestine 3, UB65. I didn't change the points. And that was it.
That's awesome.
It was.
And did you repalpate the area too?
Yes, of course. And just, the one interesting thing about palpation, just out of curiosity, right? I do it. Not just because, I expect to find something. But what I found in the past, sometimes like, okay, this is working. Why bother palpating? Well, because you never know what you're going to find. And it's interesting. Sometimes it's like, oh my God, look, it got looser. So his area start getting loose. I didn't completely get loose, but the pain sometimes goes away before, especially not chronic, but something's been around for a few months before the muscle completely kind of loosens up. But sure, the muscle did eventually loosen up because I treated him for something else afterwards. Yeah, it got completely better. And it's a really interesting thing. I don't think I would jump necessarily right away on this point. But look, so I did a treatment and the person felt better that day, but then it came back. If somebody feels better that day and it comes back to me, the treatment was not successful. So you have to kind of rethink and why did it get better and then came back? Well, sometimes it happens when condition is kind of long-term. And in this case, presence of a cold kind of makes things stuck. So initially, you open the channel, but then the channel, gets affected again. So, yeah.
Can I ask just one question?
Sure, please. I love
it. So, with bladder 43, so you decided to select this point just because of the function of this point. It's like it's used to commonly treat very chronic cases where there's like cold trapped in the upper back. Is that the main reason why you chose it? Or was there also like, so when you decide to select this point, then are you also like trying to see if there is a change at that point, or it doesn't matter if there's a change or not at this point?
No, but the point was quite, I will check to see if the point is sensitive. The point was quite a bit sensitive. This other thing that I do, I think I did it too. So you could press, I do this pressing testing. Mm-hmm. I would press and see if it helps too.
If say for example, like okay, you palpate it, you want to use bladder 43, you press on it, it's not that significant of a change, not sensitive, and you do the pressing technique and it doesn't help. Will you still use it at this point?
Most likely no.
Okay.
Unless I run out of options, then I might try, but most likely no.
So for example, like a point above it is more sensitive, like bladder 42, for example, we'll use that one instead.
If it was sensitive, what I would call active sensitive. Mm. So if it's not sensitive just because, some points could be sensitive, like abnormally sensitive, I might, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, especially 42 is a great point anyway, mm-hmm. right? It's good for wind, and that and this point could be used for upper back pain too. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't have specifically as depth as I don't think as UB43.
So what do you think makes bladder 43 such a special point for treating this kind of disorder?
Oh, well, again, so with these long-term conditions, well, cold is difficult to treat, right? Cold gets in deeper in the tissue and it gets lodged. And it's really sometimes hard to get to. And, you know, we could use source points or shoestring points, moxa, of course, with the lamp. And sometimes you can't necessarily get to the cold that lodged deep in the area. And especially in this area, UB43 has access to this deeper tissues like Huang tissues, right? This kind of that Huang is called like a padding around the organs in the deeper area. And it really gets to this tissues, and it makes the air kind of almost, if you think about from Western physiology, promote circulation through that area. So then you could use regular channel, and the channel works better when you use it.
That's really interesting. So you were saying this is your
with
favorite.
Moxa.
Yes, with Moxa. You're saying this is your favorite out of the four Huang points?
Yes.
And why do you say it's your favorite? The other four Huang points are like Bao Huang.
Bao Huang, UB53, Huang Mao is UB51,
and Huang Shu,
Kidney 16, right? Mm-hmm. So in order of liking, and it's probably because of order and understanding, UB43 is my favorite, and I use it the most. Bao Huang is the next favorite. I use it enough. Mm-hmm. Kidney 16, I use it, but less. And then UB51, I don't really understand it as well, and so I use it very little. Now, I've read about it, but I just don't really quite understand it, so I use it less.
So Bao Huang, do you use it more for like gynecological issues, or how do you use it?
Gynecological urinary issues, and also local sacrum back pain that's kind of stuck and it's hard to get to. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
All right, do you also use it like when you're treating gynecological issues, or when you select this point, according to the concept that's also related to the
yeah,
Huang?
Gynecology.
Because it's relationship to the Huang? Or
mm-hmm. And I frequently needle that point for gynecological issues. I might do moxa around that point afterwards, but I frequently needle that point.
So for what kind of gynecological issues will you consider using this point?
So again, if it's a issue that's been lingering, and I use it with some endometriosis, fibroids, stuff that's, especially if there's a change in tissue or something like that. Mm-hmm. If somebody has dysmenorrhea, that's just not, just dysmenorrhea per se, I will not use, that's not a point that I would use.
Mm-hmm. And then last one, you liked Huang Shu, do you use it much? You said sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Mainly digestive issues. And, you know, I know people that study with Kiko Matsumoto, she needles around the belly button for all kinds of stuff. I don't have that depth. I do it mainly for digestive issues.
Okay. We're just talking about kidney 16, right? The Huang Shu.
Right.
Sometimes, like, I find that kidney 16, you can feel, like, that strong arterial pulse in that area. Mm-hmm. Like, some people are very significant in that channel space there. And if you want to use that point, will you still use that point if there's still a strong arterial pulse there, or if you are going to use it, do you just needle to the side of the pulse? How do you?
Well, but remember, it depends on the person's anatomy, right?
Yeah.
Right. If somebody's super, I've had people that are super skinny. I mean, super skinny mm-hmm. for like digestive issues when they have problem assimilation and they. And so you have to be careful needling deep there. But then most people, you have a little layer of fat because it's right around the belly button. There's a space, right? And there's a muscle. So just be, you have to be aware of anatomy, mm-hmm. not to go deep.
But sometimes you can feel that pulse, like it's quite superficial, right?
So if I decided to use that point, that pulse wouldn't, I would not be worried about hitting the artery. Now, on the other hand, if if there was really strong pulls and the person not super, super skinny, there could be an excess condition. I'm not sure if I necessarily would use that point, but it's a separate issue.
That's right. True. Yeah,
usually
yeah.
Probably do something else. Right.
Right. Okay. I think this is actually the four Huang, those points. I think we could actually do another talk about it.
Oh yeah, those are fascinating. I have some interesting, I'm going to look, I don't think I could find any charts from a long time ago. I have some interesting cases.
I think it'd be good to go more detail, like discussion on like, what is the Huang and the Gao and the Huang. I think that'd be, we could do that for one episode if you want, future episode.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Thanks, Yufin, for sharing this case. Is there anything else you wanted to add to this case? I might have like interrupted your
analysis. No, it's okay. I just, the main thing, one, be clear to ask if it's a condition that is that's called cold origin, which is very common for Taiyangqiang, the backs, very common. And if it's kind of, if you feel conditions been lingering, don't forget about this point. Really kind of consider this point. You don't always have to use small test and 3B65. I use it in this case. There are other points you could use. I've used in the past source points and other points, but just think about this point prior to the treatment.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks, Yufin. Yeah. And we'll talk again.
Of course.
All right. Bye.
Bye, John.
Bye.